All right. I was reading up on some tips for next week, and I hear that the reward challenge, the reward is going to be based on today.
Today. Let's see here. We're recording this on the third month of the 14th of March.
Pi Day.
Oh!
Armchair Survivor with Marjorie and Michael Carino.
I am honest and I have integrity. Really?
It's not affecting anyone other than those people.
I think your fandom made them think.
Your ego precedes you by 10 miles.
Survivor thing.
Join them at armchairsurvivor.com.
I probably should prepare for the jury.
Welcome to Armchair Survivor with Margie and Mike. We are here again with a cold, and I think I have a perpetual survivor cold.
Yeah.
All right. It was another great episode. Just in case you're new to the show, quick debriefing. What we do is watch the show, form all sorts of just generic comments and
oh, they're not generic.
Not generic. Very not fact filled. Comments.
Not that, well researched.
Yeah, that's
what
better
it is
to say. And then we come talk about it. And then we invite you to tell us what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's that easy. So, anyway, what happened this week on Survivor?
Well, it was another good Survivor. I think we're still getting to know the people.
Yeah.
So there's the obvious, like, still setting up camp, doing that kind of thing. Nina is having a really rough time with assimilating with her group.
She is, and I think the problem is that I think she's actually in some ways sometimes her own worst enemy, though.
Yeah. And then Carolyn better be careful because everyone in her tribe is looking for the idol, not her. That's usually a sign of, oh, you don't give a care in the world or you have it.
Right. I think she's wearing a red flag.
So at least she said, you know, I'm here to watch the fire. Walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
And is the red tribe, they're not even pretending the no colors looking for the idol, are they?
They pretend that they're looking for it?
They don't show us. I mean, there's
there doesn't seem to be anything going on with that. No, not at all.
Now, I have to tell you, I'm liking the challenge again.
I know. I was actually really pleased. I saw the challenge stuff and I thought, oh, happy wife, happy life.
I think we've seen this challenge before, but twisted up a little bit.
Yeah.
The theory being is that each tribe has this huge water bucket. They have to fill it with water at one end, move through obstacles, dump it out, fill another bucket at the other end, which will then, once the bucket drops the teeter-totter, the flag is raised and you win.
Yes.
Now, you'd probably have a good theory with this, wouldn't you? Like how to do it?
Yeah, well, here's the thought I had with this. And that is that no matter what you do, you're still going to lose the same amount of water.
How so?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly. But the point is that you're going to plug as many holes as you possibly can, right? So if the thing that I saw them doing wrong, as far as I was concerned, is they wouldn't fill the bucket all the way. And I think that what they should have done was that they should have filled the bucket as much as they possibly can. And I would see them take half buckets of water. Well, the thing is that if you fill the bucket all the way, now granted, you might lose a little bit more off the top. But the thing is that whatever you can't plug on the holes is going to be not plugged, whether you have a half a bucket of water, unless you're so low that you're just doing the bottom holes, which at that point, you know, you're really kind of cheating yourself. So anyway, if you're going to be able to plug as many holes as you're going to be able to plug. And if you not filling the bucket all the way is not going to help you, I don't think it's going to come out that much faster if the bucket's not all the way full. So I think that the one mistake they made, and the Red Tribe especially made, was that they didn't fill the bucket.
Okay. My only question.
And then, of course, they also had the Nina thing, but that was a completely different
stupidity. That was stupid.
Yeah, that was just dumb.
But it's going to be extremely heavy. It looked heavy enough carrying that bucket halfway full, all the way full.
I would say get it as full as possible. Because the other thing, too, is that if you, at worst, you could dump some out to make it lighter. But the thing
but then
was.
You're wasting time. You're wasting time to
fill
up the bucket.
Well, you could get a feel for it. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. But I think that sometimes they would just take kind of a light bucket.
Part of me thinks, okay, have the people in the back block their body, use their body to block some of the holes, like lean it back, and then everyone cover the bottom ones too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think covering the bottom is even more, covering the bottom is probably more important.
It is, but I'm thinking if they lean it back some, you could have more water and cover the back holes. Right. So you still have to get it through those challenges. So
yeah, I think that going over the grid was a nasty thing to have to go through.
I'm surprised no one broke their ankle. Like, I think that must be soft, but yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine landing on that stuff, or if the bucket landed on you, would be pretty bad. So, yeah.
It looks like the same grid they used for the water challenge.
Yeah.
They just reuse them.
It looks like they have, in fact, one of the things I noticed was they had a preview for last week, and that one looked like it was a reuse from last season. But that's cool. I mean.
But at least they're reusing like these more
good ones.
Basic, and it's not like anyone is going to be so much better than another person.
Oh, unless, yeah.
I don't know, you're some water engineer or something. But yeah, don't use Nina.
That was
dumb. Way to go,
dumb.
Jackass Joe.
That was dumb.
She's not going to be able to walk. She made it on Survivor, and she's pretty fit. It's not like she's some, you know, wasn't it Dan, I think, that Kiwi mentioned last week, who sat in the big chair and you thought he wore those.
Right,
alligator
not this,
shoes,
not this time,
and you think
Dan,
to yourself,
several seasons ago, yeah. Dan. Yeah, yeah.
And you go, yeah, you probably don't have much agility, or I don't even then.
Even at that, you're plugging a hole. That is, I mean,
you have to walk through everything.
You have to walk through everything. But even if at worst, even if Dan or Nina had not been lifting it, you were plugging a hole. And the thing was, though, I don't think Nina is deaf. She's not incapable of walking. And
she appears fit. She made it on Survivor, so yeah. She has to have some level of fitness. And you see her working in camp.
Yeah, no, you're right, exactly.
That was one of those, you're a fucking idiot, Joe, and team who thought this was brilliant. And then at least you admitted, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot.
The thing is that Joe has impressed me a lot in a lot of different ways, but this was one where I thought that was a stupid move, and I was waiting after I saw that to see if maybe you could smell some politics going on in there. And at that point, I could maybe understand and say, okay, that was still a boneheaded move, but it was a strategic move, but it was a... Their strategy they were using for that move was just plain stupid. I mean, it was not even trying to do something avant-garde. It was just plain stupid. I couldn't believe it. I was really disappointed with that.
And this is pure spectator, because we did not see this.
Yeah.
I do not know these people, but I really feel like it was the mean kid club. It was the catty girls talking with Joe, like, we're so cool. You know what? We should probably just not even have Nina do it, because look how old she is. And she can't hear, so it's just going to be awful. Joe, don't you agree? Joe, what do you think?
I kind of wondered whether that was the case. That never came out.
As I said, pure speculation.
That was what I was starting to smell from the very beginning of that, and that's what I was trying to figure out what was going on with it.
And
just boneheaded move no matter what, though.
And then we come out to hear that Joe's mom works with the development, or the developmentally...
deaf.
I don't think you're developmentally deaf, but developmentally challenged, which could include deaf people.
Oh, okay.
And how he knows sign language. Are you fucking kidding me? You know sign language, but you can't figure out how to talk with her.
Well, no, he's
guessing
been,
she probably
he was
has some,
talking to her, though.
But he knows sign language. So let's face it. You could go, Nina, here's the whole thing. Is it hard for you in challenges? We did this with our kids when they were little. Hey, across the room, and so-and-so gives you like a little trick-or-treating, gives you your trick-or-treat. They look back at us like, can I have it? And you go, sign language for thank you. And they go, thank you. Come on, you could have used some hand signals.
Well, I think Joe was actually being better than the other girls.
I agree, but Joe's going to have some cleanup to do after Survivor, because he's looking like a douche with the deaf community.
Well,
I bet you his mom, he's coming across awful.
But the thing was, though, is that keep in mind, he took Nina aside and talked to her and tried to bring her back into the fold some, too. I think he...
After he threw her under the bus in the challenge, and then... Maybe he's talking... Maybe she doesn't know sign language. I don't know.
And she may not, because, I mean, keep in mind, she was deaf 7 years ago, and my guess is that she probably... I mean, can you imagine having to learn a new language at an older age? I think that, like...
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that...
How many people have come... in your family alone, how many people have come over from Italy or some area in Europe?
I learned the word tits and viper.
Not you, Mike. Oh. But we've had millions of people come from other countries to the States when they're in their older age, and they've assimilated and learned the language.
But I'm thinking that if she was aware of the cochlear implants, I'm wondering whether she just didn't learn it. Because she's not shown any signs of knowing it, though.
Then here would be a thing.
Yeah.
You know how, like, when we go to stuff and sometimes you have to have that little signal, like, I've had enough, or come save me because I'm stuck in a conversation?
Yeah.
Well, if we can pick that up and we can make up signals, because it doesn't have to be the official American Sign Language movement.
Uh-huh.
You think you could have thought of something?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as that. I don't think he's
horrible, but if he were my child and I, as a parent, worked with developmentally challenged people and you were exposed and worked with them all through their, you know, all through your life and are taught that, you know what, this is a person. This isn't a deaf person. This isn't a blind person. This is a person.
Yeah.
And just like one person may not like, you know, mayonnaise on something, so you accommodate them. This person needs you to accommodate them in a different way.
True. Like,
come on. Poor Joe. I think he's getting a bad rap on the edits.
I also think that he's probably got to deal with trying to be a decent guy, but also he's got two, you know, pretty girls around him, and that makes guys kind of dumb sometimes.
Yeah, well, even Jeff was like, what is wrong with you people? And I give him credit because it wasn't all his fault. I mean, he's not the only person who can make a decision on that tribe, so don't get me wrong. But even he's like, God, that was dumb. Will, of course, is like, hey, you playing Survivor? Mm-hmm. You playing Survivor? It's a game. Okay, Will, because you just want to save your tail end this week.
Yeah, Will has actually been kind of, he's not been an impressive performer, but he does seem to have a underlying survival instinct that I think the other ones don't.
The only thing is, so, you know, obviously from the challenge, the blue team wins. They got a beautiful luxury of chairs and, more importantly, a tarp and a rope to hold the tarp down. Those are huge for Survivor. And then the yellow or white collar team comes in second and they get a tarp.
Yeah.
So red loses because of their strategy or who knows what.
Lack thereof.
But Will's bad strategy. Yeah. Painting himself in a corner.
He is, but he keeps on coming back for some reason. And that's the kind of a weird thing. I also thought it was kind of impressive that the girls were able to make surfboards out of driftwood. I wouldn't have thought that worked.
How can that not hurt?
I'm sure it hurt, but the fact that they actually did it was kind of impressive. I think that, you know, that's a good one for girl power as far as I'm concerned.
It was fun. It's fun and they're creative and enjoy your time out there, like while you have your energy.
Yeah, indeed.
So we go to tribal council.
Well, what about really quickly about the blue tribe and the white tribe? Just a couple of social notes there.
Okay.
Mike. This is weird because I was really, really liking Mike and I kind of liked, what's his name? Rodney. Mike is falling apart and Rodney's kind of being a little bit of a bitch. And I'm kind of surprised because I thought Rodney was kind of a good guy, you know, a little bit counter to Mike, but at the same time, you know, kind of a rough but good guy. He's kind of getting to be a little self-righteous, and Mike is getting really self-righteous. The one who I think I'm starting to like more is the cop. I think she's got the right idea. And the thing that kind of has gotten me about the blue collar tribe is that the blue collar tribe, I'll say in this case, but I think this does carry on to, regular, outside of Survivor blue collar. I think that one of the things that they have is a pride for the fact that they're the working people and they work and they do stuff and they don't try to, they do what they do through hard work, which seems very virtuous and stuff like that. But it's almost as though this group has latched onto that and they are defining themselves with that, but they're intolerant of anyone else's version of that. So like Mike and Rodney go at each other. Both of them, I'm sure are both hard workers in real life. But, like Rodney says, okay, well, hard work, of course, hard work, but it's only after I eat something. And Mike is saying, if you're not doing the firewood, then you're not doing hard work. And it's almost as though they're getting the blue collar tribe has become idealists. And they have an ideal that they go by, but unfortunately, they're getting into the semantics of, okay, well, is it my version of the ideal or your version of the ideal? Which I see a lot with religious people too. The no collars, by contrast, are.
Well, wait, can I just say something?
Yeah.
I think that I don't know if it was Kelly or Lindsay that talked about this with the blue collar. And she said, we're known for working hard and we work really hard. However, we also assume we're working the hardest.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to be around others who, because you are always striving to work the hardest. And I think that's ringing really true with Mike. He's, hey, my job, I work. And the rest of them are working, but he's perceiving that he's always the one doing the most.
Right. And it may be that he is, but I think that one of the things I have found just from working with groups and stuff, and that is that if you start focusing on who is working the hardest, when you start measuring it, and focusing on that a lot, you end up destroying yourself. Whereas, it's better just to measure it, like at the end of the job and say, I actually ended up working the hardest. And whether you ever remember, if you actually even say it out loud, that's kind of debatable. But the thing is, though, is that I think that when you do that and when you start to say it out loud a lot and you're focusing on that a lot during the process, you start to build resentment in among the people around you. And I think that is where I think that's where they're falling apart, is they have this ideal, which is a good thing, but unfortunately they're kind of defining it to the point and nailing it or, driving it home to a point where it's becoming destructive.
And I agree. And I think it's a really hard thing to do because you sit there and go, okay, these 10 things need done. And I did 8 of them.
Yeah.
And you get pissed off. It's almost like the whole forgiveness thing where people are like, you're not helping yourself. Forgiveness is like, you are forgiving something within you.
Yeah.
Like, and you're letting go. So it's actually better for you. But boy, my natural instinct is I'm going to hold on to the bitter end, but you're not winning anything. So I think what you're saying with the work thing is the same thing. You think you're being, I'm doing the right thing because I keep working, and I have a tally of the 10 of the 12 things I did, and I know you only did 4 and you did 1. You're not helping anybody.
Well, and I think the thing though is that they have to remember that, if they're in a long run, like if they're at the job that they're planning to retire, you do need to bring it up at some point. Although how you bring it up also can be destructive, or you can try to do it constructively. When you're on Survivor though, that's a short run. And the thing that I think that Mike should do is just figure, okay, what if I did do all of the work? this is not the job site that I'm going to be working on for years and years. This is 39 days. It's the whole 39 days. You have to just kind of push through it and let that one go because there's a bigger goal in mind for that.
Yeah.
And I think that I could see it. Like if
and a little bit of both. Yeah.
If he's working at the job or, he's sitting around the house with his wife or his kids or something like
even
that.
Even then you have to let it go if you want to have a productive relationship.
Well, yeah. You have to let it go to a certain degree when as far as that goes. I could see where he's going with it more if that were the case. And yes, I think that he has to let it go. I think Mike is probably a good guy. And I think that he seems like a hard worker. I think that he is just killing himself in Survivor by having this, constant harangue because no one wants to hear it. No one ever wants to hear it, unfortunately. But the thing is, though, is that it's going to hurt him so much more in the long run. It's not going to gain him anything in this game. Actually, it's going to hurt him in this game.
I agree, but I do like him. Overall, yeah. I like him. I think Survivor magnifies parts of your personality, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, so sorry. You can now. I just had to point that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, and then the other thing I noticed on the White Tribe, Joaquim, he's just kind of he's slimy.
Yeah.
That's about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to tribal council.
No argument there. So at tribal, I think it came out the fact that I think this tribe, in their weird way, want Nina to fit in. Like, mm-hmm. when eating the lizard, Nina, try the lizard. No. Even I'm like, try the lizard because one, you need food, and mm-hmm. two, it's that Jerry Maguire, help me help you.
Yeah,
try to be part of this when you're not getting hurt at all. I mean, the lizard's not going to kill you,
right?
So join in, though at the same time, they're not very welcoming at other points. So, at what point do you draw the line of like, you're mean to me all the other times, and now you want me to eat this lizard and be a bonding with you? Mm-hmm. But again, Survivor, 39 days, it's all you have to do to be nice.
Yeah, I think there's a certain thing with Nina where she has to get 39 days. I think Nina, I basically like Nina, but Nina has to understand 39 days too. I mean, she's just not 39 days, Nina, and you don't even have that many more to go. You don't have 39 to go. You've got like 30 some. Oh, that's right. You don't have any more to go. But at the point where she was playing, she still had days, fewer days than 39.
And I do feel for her because, as Jeff pointed out, do you think you're on the wrong tribe? And she's like, yes, I'm a white collar. It's a white collar for most of my life. I think I still have those tendencies.
Yeah, she's kind of like the person who, was raised some kind of WASP religion and then decided to become a Jew or something like that at the last minute or something.
No, because I don't think she's truly a no collar now.
I think they
put her in there because she's had to change her way of life, but I don't think that she's changed her thought process.
Well, I think that she kind of seems to have changed her thought process because she changed the way she does stuff.
Because she doesn't. I don't know how she worded it somewhere that way, that going back to a white collar job wasn't in the cards, but I didn't quite understand that.
But I think I kind of understood her to be that she's kind of converted herself to white collar because it seems to fit better for what she's doing, or not, no collar, because it seems to, like, this was a life-changing experience, which I don't doubt, but I think that what happened was that she still has a lot of white collar tendencies.
Okay.
So, oh well.
So, in the end, bye, Nina. I think she's okay with it all. I don't think she'll be bitter. Do you think she's going to be bitter?
No, I don't. Well, maybe a little bit because she felt like she was left out, but I don't think so. I think she was happy that she got to be on the show.
Yeah. So sorry, Nina.
I mean, even Vince, I think he seemed to, once he, you know, he seemed to be happy that he was on the show.
Yeah. Which, yay.
Which I would have thought he would have, you know.
Nah.
Yeah.
He played hard and he left.
Yeah.
And speaking of Vince, can I just read Bob's comment?
Yeah, sure.
Remember Bob?
Yeah. Bob who disagrees with me all the time.
No, Bob who agrees with me. All right. I haven't actually read it. Oh, here we go. But it just started funny. So, well, Will got himself into a pile of doo-doo. Now, if he had just stuck to the plan last week and voted out Jen instead of Steve Jobs, he would be the Power Alliance. Whoa, wait, what? Steve Jobs was on Survivor?
Oh,
let me just go back and check. No, it was Vince Sly. Sorry about that. I'm just always mixing those two up because they are so fucking similar. At 21, Steve was co-founding a little-known company called Apple. At 21, Vince probably had a Kool-Aid stand in his parents' driveway. At 30, Steve was starting his second computer company. At 30, Vince had branched out to coconuts. At 31, Steve was buying a little company later to be called Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
At 31, Vince still selling coconuts from his cart on the beach. So you can forgive me for mixing them up because they are almost the same guy. Now, Michael, would you just admit that you bulldozed Margie last week when she said that Vince was throwing baskets for the no callers and you insisted that it was Joe, when in fact they showed Joe throwing the first two and Vince throwing the next two? I think she just wants credit for her work and maybe a 10-second hug now and then. Thank you.
I'll give her the 10-second hug, also, but I'll do it just cause.
And admit it was Vince that was throwing the coconuts. Did you pick that up?
But
Joe threw the first two and Vince threw the rest.
Oh, okay.
How could we ever know if Margie's right or wrong? Bob said so, and we have a little thing called the DVR.
I just remembered Joe. I did. Maybe I was so disappointed.
Just Mike only remembers when he's right.
Distraught from the performance that maybe I just stopped.
Well, this will help you because Bob clearly has picked up on your needs. Also, in case you missed the sarcasm, I was saying Margie was right about the Steve Jobs comparison. For fuck's sake, anyone with an actual job is more like Steve Jobs than Vince. I swear to God, Michael, you're going to give me a brain aneurysm one of these days. Anyway, thanks for the podcast and keep up the good work. God, I love you, Bob!
Oh, Bob.
Bob's my favorite person.
Bob, I didn't say that
a brain Vince aneurysm
was actually Steve Jobs. I was saying that he had Steve Jobs tendencies than other people on the tribe. And more on this personality.
I like how Bob actually uses your words, too. For fuck's sake. Because you love that. For fuck's sake, anyone with an actual job is more like Steve Jobs than Vince.
I think somebody can Bob come and defend only my position on the Steve Jobs Vince thing.
Clearly no one did.
I realized that he was not, you know, making Apple computer or
Bob
anything.
Is really articulate.
I Way think to go, he Bob. Is articulate.
And I think Bob is wrong. Creative, too, because he pulls the same words you use, so you can't be like, well, yeah, he just... Ooh, Bob.
Yeah,
nice.
Bob.
I like Bob. I wonder if, is this your first season, Bob? Because you have some fun comments. We welcome more and more comments because it just is fun. And I promise I will not just read the ones that are positive about me. It's just funny that it's
you'll just read the ones that are positive about you that are from Bob. Because you don't want to taint his... If he comes out with something nice about me, you don't want to taint the
No, because Bob is clearly a brilliant person. So there could be a case once in every blue moon
he
may not... Because he's articulate and smart.
He's articulate, he's smart, but he's wrong. Which I by the way, that's a huge compliment. Because from where I come... I have to deal with lots of inarticulate, bad writers who are not that smart, and I'm all for Bob. I'm all for what he's doing, except for the fact that he's wrong. Okay.
Way to go, right, Bob. I'm going to call you Bob. It's always right.
Bob Wright.
Bob Wright.
That's what we'll say his last name.
Okay.
Is Bob Wright. Okay.
Any other comments?
We have a couple of here that came in on the audio line. Would you like to hear one?
I'd love to.
Let's see here.
Hello, my name is Conchita Hasenfefer, and I'm calling today to talk to you about the Survivor reality TV show.
Yep.
Okay, I have to start all over. New listeners, Conchita is a interesting person who calls in from time to time. Like Bob, she is very quick-witted and funny as hell.
And sometimes she likes me. Sometimes.
And she calls Michael Michelle.
Sometimes.
Oh, Conchita.
Sometimes she's kind of rude to me, too.
Okay, can you start off from the beginning because it's just so fun?
Yeah, it sounds like Conchita got a nicer microphone, too.
Oh, hello. My name is Conchita Hassenfeffer, and I'm calling today to talk to you about the Survivor reality TV show program on the CBS Television Network channel.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Conchita.
Oh,
I have missed
you.
I'm
so very sorry that I haven't called in such a long time and everything. But you see, I had to enroll in the Witless Protection Program.
Oh.
Yes. So I've been in hiding for a very, very long time. Not the witness protection program. The witless protection program.
I caught that. And
I don't really understand why I had to do it, what we were doing there, but that's just what we did. I had to go into hiding. I don't know. It was my husband's idea, but it was fun. It was like summer camp. But am I talking about that? No, we're talking about Survivor. Margie?
Yeah.
Margie? Why are all these naked people on my television set? What's going on? I mean, I know back in the day, people would get naked on Survivor all the time. Richard the Hedge did it. And every now and then, you know, someone would get in a competition where they had to do like wrestling on a log, like one-on-one, and the guy would take off his panties so that the other guy would be like, ew, gross. And then that's a strategy. But now everybody's walking around naked. What is going on? Why would that girl not wear any panties? Why are you wearing a bikini top with no panties? Why are you washing the dishes? That's gross.
She was washing the snatches.
Gross. I'm picturing she's using her business as a Brillo pad. It's nasty.
Oh, God.
I was having a regular Wednesday night watching television. Oh. All of a sudden, there was a naked man on my TV, and he was also nude, and he had no clothes on. I thought maybe they had banned nudity on the show.
No.
If Russell Hans was on because...
Did he go nude? Did he go
nude? You have to pause when you talk because I can't hear it all. Oh my God, she said use a Brillo pad.
Her business is a Brillo pad.
It was beautiful.
That alone.
See, I told you it was freaking weird that she was washing dishes without a bikini bottom on.
You know, I wonder if that works.
Oh, God.
I haven't trimmed down there for a little while, and sometimes the meatloaf does stick to the pan.
You go ahead, honey.
Oh, my.
Can you rewind it some?
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't hear much after the Brillo pad content. I was choking.
He used her business as a Brillo pad. That is so wrong, but true.
Well, Conchita's not necessarily all right anyway.
She's so right. But they're so gross. Quit being
well,
naked
she's
for no
right,
reason.
But she's not right in different ways, I think, that's the issue. I'll ask
Wednesday
her.
Not watching television, all of a sudden, there was a naked man on my TV, and he was also nude, and he had no clothes on.
He was also nude.
And I mean, I thought maybe they had banned nudity on the show.
No.
If the Russell Hans was on, because...
Russell Hans was never nude, was he? Completely?
Who cares? You saw his man boobs.
Well, I mean, that has never been an, you know, just that has been a Survivor staple, I think.
That was good. Go ahead.
That would have just been awful. I'm just crying thinking about I'm also throwing up on myself just a little bit too. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see
I agree.
Russell
I don't
Hans
want to see
naked.
That. Even though I've been a
well,
Russell fan.
Michelle probably wants to see him. No. Scratch that. Michelle probably already has seen Russell the
Hans
naked.
And it just wasn't good. But we made
there's
beautiful love together.
There's a stronger man than me. But then again, I'm not a man. I'm a lady girl person. But that's not the part right now. That's really all I had to say about the show, I think. I'm just glad Coconut Man is gone because freaking me out. I don't even think those feathers, I don't think he put them in his hair. I think they grew. They're so dirty that he had birds living in his head and they died from it. And then it just left it. Gross. I like to hug people for 10 minutes at a time. Great. I'm hugging you and my eyes are getting pecked out by the birds that are living in your stupid hair. Gross. This show's gross. And that other girl was like, oh, I can't believe I'm really here with you, Jeffy Brooks. And I'm like, you get your hands off of him, girl. Send her home right now.
Yes.
Wait a second here. Conchita and Margie both. I cannot allow you to
you will get your
say eyes pecked anything out
by the birds
that I can understand. But the whole idea is you can't criticize whoever it was who said, "Oh, I'm so I this is
send
so,
her home."
Said the thing about
she's ours, huh? Conchita?
Saying that ours, she can't believe she was on television with Jeff Probst because you two would be
Jeff Probst. Actually, you would probably be like that, and Conchita and I would be so cool. We'd be like, "Hey, Jeff. So cool to be with you," and we would kiss him like
would,
that girl.
You would have a it'd be like a cartoon character with the we tongue rolling down on the floor like a carpet. Cool. No, I think that you do. I think it would be sort of you would you
Conchita.
Just,
we would be so cool. You wouldn't say anything. Listen to Michelle.
Jeff. And little, you could actually see little hearts and Tweety birds coming out of your heads. Both of you.
No, Jeff and I would go over. Jeff would actually probably say, you know what? After Tribal, Margie, Conchita, stay here. We're just going to have some talks.
Have a meeting. Right.
On the campfire.
Jeff.
I love okay. That Jeff Probst.
Let's see here.
Messing with my Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
How come he's not walking around naked? Of all the people on the island to be walking around naked.
He did so on, Two
that
and a Half Men?
That was wrong on Two and a Half Men, though, wasn't it, Conchita?
I've seen a picture of him on the web where supposedly he had this really huge schlong, too. I don't know if it was made up or not.
Actually, if we would just take his shirt off, that'd be nice. When it gets all wet in the challenges. Right, Conchita? Right?
Mm-hmm. Whatever you ladies
Karen's
would
probably
like.
With us. Aren't you, Karen?
And the only one that should be allowed. No, it's the only one that should be mandatory. Okay, it's been very nice talking to you again.
It's very nice talking to you, too.
And I hope everybody has a happy weekend, which I guess is over already. But whatever you have a weekend, have a happy one. Okay, bye. I love you. Mwah.
All right. Thank you, Conchita. It's always nice to hear from Conchita, even though sometimes I think that she I think sometimes she needs to be medicated a little bit, but that's okay. Perhaps the doctor's taking care of that for her. I'm glad to see that she's out of the Witless Protection Program as well, because I guess when she's in the Witless Protection Program, she's not allowed to talk to us. And
I
so
I like that.
I love it when she is here talking to us.
Me too.
Indeed. Even though sometimes she says things about me that are not necessarily all that nice. I forgive her for that. And I'll let it slide. I'll let it go because she makes me laugh.
I like Conchita.
I think we've got another call.
Right. Hello. It is I again, Kiwi Scott. Yes! Can't comment Kiwi on another Scott. Episode of Survivor. Well, what happened this week?
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like the no callers lost again. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about if maybe players in the modern seasons are getting too strategically minded for their own good.
Good point.
Because when you look at the seasons that have had three tribes, each one of them, I think every single time, there's been one tribe that's lost nearly all of, if not all of, the immunity challenges before the switch.
Yeah.
And the Brains tribe sucked in Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, and they lost nearly everything.
Yeah.
In Philippines, Malcolm and Denise's tribe lost all the immunity challenges until it was just Malcolm and Denise left.
Yeah.
And in this season, yeah. I think the No Collar tribe might be well on their way to achieving the same unfortunate feat.
Yeah.
And I think this might be due to the players within the tribe thinking too far ahead and being overly strategic in the early game.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, in the first maybe three or four votes, I think an old school mentality would help the players in terms of, we need to find out what's best for the team going forward. Whether it's somebody we just can't work with in the team challenges, somebody who sucks at the team challenges, or someone who's openly trying to isolate themselves or backstabbing the tribe needs to go. Instead of like forming these clicky divisions, getting rid of other people who might be a threat down the line, mm-hmm. but who could help you in the short term and challenges, I think Vince last week definitely fell into that category.
Yeah.
I mean, Vince made some social mistakes, true, but he would have been a figure that would have helped them in the challenges. And even if Joe and his two girls had wanted to stay in the majority, they could have got rid of Nina last week quite easily and kept Vince around to win the challenges, which they should be doing, because going into a merge or a switch disadvantage with numbers is a really terrible idea. And it came about through their own short-sighted or long-term thinking and not taking the short-term into account. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that now that Nina's gone, which was definitely the right decision in this episode for the group.
I think so.
Maybe they can put it together a bit better in the challenges, but still, I see too much of decisions being made on clickiness and people not fitting in that could still help. And I really don't think that's the way to go in these type of seasons early on.
I think that's true. Couple things about this, though. Historically, though, Malcolm and Denise, even though they were on the tribes that went quickly, ended up doing very, very well in their season. But
I think what he's saying is that all these people are trying to play so strategically, and I don't think it's helping them.
Well, another thing, too, I think I mentioned last week that I've been reading slash really listening to the book 48 Rules of Power, which I think is one of the things that a lot of survivors read. And that's why I'm quote reading it. And I think the problem that you run into with this book is that if you follow the rules at the wrong time, it can get you in trouble. And in fact, actually, there's a chapter in there about timing. But one of the things that they say, and I listened to this and I thought to myself, gosh, this is Survivor to a certain degree, and this is also the way some people operate. And that is that they say, have an end goal, or know your end goal and work toward that. And that sounds like it's being unyielding toward changes. And I've always thought, because there are people who are very, very goal-oriented, which I think is good to a certain degree, but you also have to be able to change. And with Survivor, you definitely, there's actually a built-in change you have to do, which I think Scott is illustrating very well. And that is that you've got, and also was told specifically on the season, and that is that there is tribe time and there is individual time. And I think that what happens is sometimes people get so wrapped up in the end goal that they forget that you have to weave through and be ready to change. Be ready to change and to make, you know, to get there. And in fact, in this in the book 48 Rules of Power, they actually have an example that goes for that and one that goes against that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I just remember thinking to myself, oh God, this was Survivor. So I think you're right, Kiwi. I forgot where I was going with that. But I think it is a lot to do. Oh, Russell Hance was one person who I think in a lot of ways figured out you have to change your plan as you're going along because the landscape changes. And that was one thing that I think Russell did get. So anyway.
Drink, Mike said Russell.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different in a two-tribe season because When you're one tribe versus one tribe in challenges, you can tend to mask over your weaknesses and your weak members a lot better, give them a role that's not as important, for instance,
because you have more people.
Or, you know, to paper over the cracks in that way than there is in three-person challenges when you've only got six members on a team. The weaknesses in your tribe are magnified because of the tiny numbers.
Good point.
And every single you have one weak link in these three team challenges, and you're pretty much sunk, as we saw this week when, like, sure, it was a bonehead strategy to isolate Nina, but she contributed nothing, and the no collars ended up losing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on in and whether my statements are validated or not.
They will be, Kiwi.
And basically, other than that, it wasn't really an eventful episode this week. The blue collar tribe with their fighting and their macho men bashing heads over work.
Yeah.
You know that they're not going to last very long. It'll be interesting to see whether Mike, or I can't even remember what the other guy's name is who was yelling at him, will even last deep into the game with that sort of attitude that puts big targets on their back by making big blow-ups at camp, which is the stupidest thing you can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will see you guys again next week.
Good.
This has been Kiwi Scott, and stay no collar.
I love a Kiwi.
Scott.
Your calls are always spot on.
Plus, I could listen to him read out of a medical journal.
I know. Awesome.
Now, one thing, though, I have to say, as far as the Vince thing, trying to make a micro alliance, I think his timing is way off. I do think, though, that especially in three tribe situations, there is because you have to make the transition, you have to figure out that if you are on the outs with a tribe, or if somebody's on the outs with a tribe, that they could flip easily and the numbers are not that big. So, for example, if you have two tribes and there's a merge, there is more, if you have a large alliance within that tribe, you have larger numbers. Unfortunately, if you're off by one or two in a three tribe situation and you go to try or to merge, you have a lot less to stand on. And if you have somebody who is a dissenter, that person could flip over.
Yeah.
And if you could get the other two tribes to dislike the people on your little tribe that you just left, they could be wiped out. So that does bring a whole different game. And in fact, I think that, speaking of Denise and Malcolm, I think that was the one thing that they did do, is that they were able to survive the flip, mainly because I think the two of them were with each other as opposed to working against each other. If one of them would have flipped over to the other side, the other one would have been doomed.
Yeah.
So, all right.
It'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, make sure to comment on our website at armchairsurvivor.com. You can call us at 234-525-1549 and leave a message. Or you can send us an audio message via the or a video message for that, via our email at show@armchairsurvivor.com. Talk to you later.